This is music from Baji Asaj. Welcome to The Checkout. I'm Josh Jackson. The Brazilian takes us to that special place between love and luck. Asaj performs live in our studio. Italian pianist Simona Pramazzi tells us how she applies lucid dreaming to her playing. And what does Eddie Palmieri have to do with playground basketball? The Latin legend shares music he composed for the documentary Doing It in the Park, Pick Up Basketball in NYC, with WBGO's Wilder Rivera. This is The Checkout. I'm Josh Jackson. Thanks for checking in.
My guest, Eddie Palmieri, the madman of Latin jazz, the son of Latin jazz, the Latin monk. I don't want to leave anything out. Grammy Award-winning pianist, composer, band leader. You just recently wrote the soundtrack for a wonderful documentary that I had opportunity to go online and check out. It's called Doing It in the Park, Pick Up Basketball in New York City.
Yes.
New York City, pick up basketball is the essence of basketball. I don't know if you can be a basketball player without experience pick up basketball.
My son came with this project to me, and I had never done anything for a documentary or movie or anything
like
that.
This is your first time.
Yeah. So I said, okay, I'll do it for you, Eddie, because Eddie was the producer for Bobito, no? Okay, so the thing is that I write three compositions.
Right.
One is called Coast to Coast, which is a terminology within the basketball.
Well, let's check out Coast to Coast. I believe that's the second track on this CD that you're
Yeah.
Doing in the Park, Pick Up Basketball, New York City, by way of Eddie Palmieri. Original music from the film, Doing It in the Park, Pick Up Basketball, New York City. Eddie Palmieri is doing it in the park, coast to coast. While you were trying to get here, I played Azúcar. One of the things I wanted to ask you about Azúcar, that's a song, a classic song that you wrote, 63, 64.
Exactly.
The song became
a hit. I recorded it in 65, but it was already being played late 63.
You were, you know, before you even recorded it, you know, it was a hit because you were playing it at everywhere. Everywhere you went, people wanted to hear Azúcar. How did the length of this seminal song affect radio play when it came out? DJs had all these time limitations because of, you know, commercials at the time.
And you needed, it had to be 2:45 to put 12 compositions on an LP.
Right.
What saved me is that I'm with Roulette, and the subsidiary is Tico. And the A&R man they give me, which is known now as a producer with A&R Artist and Repertoire,
right,
was Mr. Teddy Reig.
Oh, Teddy Reig.
And Teddy Reig was the manager of the Count Basie band. And as far as Teddy was concerned, the jazz players were recording, you know, whatever length they wanted. So I told Teddy, this is not going to be the norm. He goes, Eddie, just record it. Don't worry about it.
You recorded it like you played it.
Yeah.
And like at any concert, at any club.
They used to say the word of the Palladium was, if you're planning to dance Azúcar by Eddie Palmieri when he comes on to play, and he closes the show every night, listen to me, take my advice, don't start dancing till after the piano solo because you'll never make it. In live, we used to play for at least 15 minutes, easy.
Did a great deal for you. Didn't it get you into the Palladium? And you were a major draw for African Americans at the time.
No, they were the biggest. They were my catalyst. The blacks were, I mean, that was very special of them. On Sundays, it was all black in the Palladium. Wednesday was Jewish clientele with the dancers and, you know, like all the professional dancers that were teaching in the Catskills. And then on Friday, it was the Hispanic gamblers and the women of the night, all the things there, you know, and they would take the whole corner, make a lot of money. With the lady that was in charge called Gladys Tututata.
Tututata, you wrote a song, Tututata.
Right. She brought me to the Palladium. She brought Mr. Hyman all the way to the Bronx to hear me play. And then and then Saturday, it was the blue collar working with all Puerto Rican at that time. And Sunday was all black.
Wow.
You know.
Oh, well, that was before my time, but, you know, I just languished. I love the old stories.
They would tell me, Eddie, would you whip to me on first? Yeah, look, at Trigo is Zabroso, and then give me some Azúcar. Party.
But it was my understanding that anybody just couldn't get into the Palladium.
Well, the thing about the Palladium was you had to be a great dancer. The greatest dancers were in the Palladium. And if you went in there and didn't excite those dancers, they never brought you back.
But the band-wise, it wasn't until Azúcar that you got into the Palladium.
Oh, no, and not only that, when I barked in front of the Palladium in a place called the International, not here, folks, not there, folks, over here, and the old man, Mr. Hyman, went to complained to Mr. Cabello, Jose Cabello, who was my manager at that time. Jose Cabello was the band leader that Tito Rodriguez, Tito Puente played with them, but he becomes a manager, okay, booking agent. And then he goes, the kid outside, he's driving me crazy and taking my people away on Wednesdays. Then you will have to book him.
You'll have to book him.
Yeah, so then they gave me 90 gigs, which that's what I was looking for, like Tito Puente had and that, you know, to fill up the calendar. And because they had lost their liquor license, I was getting paid $179.50 for the whole band, and I paid 10% commission to Cabello.
Wait a minute, $179?
And 50 cents for the whole band, La Perfecta.
Are you kidding me?
No, and then they gave me a $50 raise. I went to $227.
Wow.
And then But I had 90 gigs. And that's what I was after.
Now,
and
when you say 90 gigs, it's like 90 shows?
90 gigs, no, 90 days.
Oh, just 90 days?
Yeah, because it's four shows a night.
It was four shows
a night.
It was
four nights. You did 16 sets of 50 minutes for $18 a night. The union had a special scale with the Palladium.
Wow. Well, the next song we're going to play for everyone from the original music from the film, Doing It in the Park, Pick Up Basketball in New York City.
Heads collect like rivulets along the flesh of this blacktop sediment. Fresh fly kicks crush, ready to get their laces bust when the cross comes over. Too quick to adjust. First step, leave them froze where they slept. We roll like five fingers to a hand, flexing breath control. Footwork and fast breaks, kinetic and elegant enough to leave you in a trance. You have no chance, just lamp on the pine. Who's next to be dragged through this sequence of picks and rolls, stops and pops? Gooseneck all in your chicken bucket. Fuck it, man, we all in your pocket. When we stuck it to backboard, my team swarm like a horde of some dope fiend. Can't get enough for this rush. We keep it moving, leaving nothing left to discuss. Nothing but just the hush of ghosts haunting these courts. In this wide world of sports, we make more than just amazing happen. We thread needles through seams, patting the pill with such skill, like a crook with no look when up jumps the alley. Flush, game time. Heads roll off the court with kicks still crushed. In this dog-eat-dog world, you ain't nothing but just food to us. Now who wants to call next? Because this is where it happens, Captain, and I suggest that you respect the architects.
Locked In by Eddie Palmieri. Music he composed for the documentary Doing It in the Park, Pickup Basketball in NYC. Featuring Little Johnny Rivero, Luquez Curtis, Joe Locke, and Anthony Carrillo. The poetry you heard, Respect the Architects by Anthony Alonso. The soundtrack for Doing It in the Park, co-directed by Bobito Garcia and Kevin Coliao, is available on iTunes, in CD, and on vinyl at palmierimusic.com. Coming up next, Lucid Dreaming with Simona Pramazzi. This is The Checkout. I'm Josh Jackson. Simona Pramazzi, thank you for joining us on The Checkout.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure to be here.
It's great to know that I have a neighbor in Harlem, and I hope to run into you at the grocery store at some point.
Yeah, right.
The Lucid Dreamer is the name of your recording. Let's talk a little bit about lucid dreams. It's not something that I'm able to have, really, but this kind of idea that, you know, that you're dreaming and yet you have some degree of control of your destiny within them.
Yeah, exactly. A lucid dream is when the dreamer has a sort of control on the dream and can use his personal experience and interact with the dream situation. Apparently, you can learn how to lucid dream. Personally, I had maybe a couple of experiences when it happened. Also, the title is a sort of metaphor to daydreaming and to the fact that music can like make us dream and live parallel realities in a certain way and have a dream with each composition or each song that we hear.
Simona Pramazzi joins us on The Checkout. The Lucid Dreamer is the recording on Inner Circle Music. When you're performing with a band, do you sort of feel in some sense that, not necessarily it's in a dream state, but that you have some kind of otherworldliness about what's going on between the communication and the transmission of notes between each other?
I definitely try to connect as much as I can with the other musicians, and I try to keep my focus as high as possible. I'm a real improviser, I guess, because I take a lot of risks, but my approach is very lucid and rational.
When did you start to learn to take risks as a musician? You were classically trained, which to me doesn't seem that it teaches you to take risks, does it?
Not at all. I mean, there is a sort of freedom left for interpretation in classical music, so there are different parameters then jazz music leaves a lot of freedom for creativity, and so there are like different dimensions, different worlds completely.
So tell me when you learned to take a risk.
I learned how to take risks probably since my first steps into jazz, since my first steps into improvisation.
Talk to me about Illusions. It's a beautiful composition, and yet...
Oh, thank you.
Things aren't what they seem, I guess is probably the reason why it's called Illusions.
Yeah, the form is pretty tricky because there are certain chords that come back, but the form is 7 bars, 4 bars. No, on the solos is 7, 5, and 4, yeah. On the melody there is 1 bar less. Anyway, I gave this title to this composition because it's cyclical. Maybe it's unexpected, it's not a squared form.
This is Illusions. Thank you. Illusions, Simona Permazzi from The Lucid Dreamer on Inner Circle Music. Quite a cast on here, and you play with a lot of these folks pretty regularly, with Melissa yeah. Aldana and Amin Salim and mm-hmm. Jochen Ruckert on drums. And special guest on this recording is Greg Osby, who is also a person who runs Inner Circle Music
yeah.
and is always, in my estimation, looking for people who have talent.
Yeah, well, Greg Osby is a genius, in my opinion. He's a musical genius. And I always had a big, big admiration for his artistic talent and his ideas, for his compositional methods and approaches. And also as a teacher, I consider him my mentor, honestly. And I feel very lucky to have met him and to perform with him, because I recently joined his band. Playing with him in his own quartet is a very intense experience, and I really love it. And also, I find myself like working on his compositions, just learning them, even if I don't have to play some of them. So I just want to learn his language.
Talk to me about Nude in a Landscape.
Mm-hmm. It's a dream image, probably, or it's my tribute somehow to Salvador Dalí.
Okay, well, there should be ants on it somewhere then, I think.
Oh, yeah, probably. actually, I'm reading his autobiography these days, and I'm completely fascinated by his personality. The composition Nude in a Landscape is an image of a painting, probably, of a nude, and wants to recall a dreamy image. And I try to explain it musically with a rubato, that the head is played twice. The first time is rubato, is open to interpretation, and then the second time in time. So quite almost like focusing the image a little bit better, and then there is a piano solo only. This piano solo is a form of three bars repeated over and over and over. So it's a sort of loop, dreamy loop somehow.
What do you like about Salvador Dali and surrealism?
The fact that he searched inside himself, and he always did things in his own way. Apparently, even in school, he was not doing what he was told. He was just doing his own way, and he was finding out new things.
It takes some degree of bravery to do things your own way.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. You have to not care about not being liked. You just have to go for it.
Thank you. The Lucid Dreamer, Simona Promazzi. Thank you for joining us on The Checkout.
Thank you, Josh. It was a great pleasure.
Simona Promazzi has a website. Visit her at simonapromazzi.com. Coming up next, The Place Between Love and Luck with Brazilian singer and guitarist Baji Assage. She plays in our studio with WBGO's Simon Rentner. This is The Checkout. I'm Josh Jackson.
Look deeply into my eyes, so soft. You caress my soul, so slow. You leave me calm, so hard. You bring me the sun. To my eyes, so gentle, you make me shiver, so deep that you could see, shining bright through the night. Inside of me, within my life, you find all the secrets to reach beyond my heart, beyond my heart. In the little land beyond my eyes.
I'm Simon Rettner. Baji Azaj here on the checkout for the very first time.
Yay.
Performing To Reach My Heart from a record, Between Love and Luck. Where is that place, Between Love and Luck?
I think it's a very individual place. You have yours and I have mine. I think it's everything we need in this life, actually. Love and luck. So the album tells a lot of, because love is so many kind of love, right? The love for a person, the obsessive love, love for your son, your daughter. It's totally different from your lover. So the album talks about all these kind, different kinds of love.
The song was written for your lover.
Yes.
Is it easier to write these kind of songs when you're in love?
I believe so, yeah. Well, there is a state where the inspiration, when the inspiration hits you, I think you can write about stuff not being in that state of emotion. But you have to be in that creation and inspirational moment, you know? If you were just, okay, write a song about love right now, it can be difficult.
I imagine so, especially if you have to conjure it on a night in, night out basis too, just performing it. What if you hate your lover at that time?
Exactly. Then you write all the kinds of song which has in Between Love and Luck too.
Baji Azaj, Between Love and Luck. It seems as though you've had a fair amount of luck in your life, just given your musical DNA.
Yes, exactly. I feel myself very lucky. When I was born, my brothers, Sergio and Odaí, Azaj brothers, they already played the guitar. So when I came out, there was guitar all over the place in my home. And my father always played his mandolin, I spent my childhood listening to classical music with my brothers, Brazilian traditional music with my dad playing chorinho, which is very close to jazz, and my mom singing the MPB, Brazilian popular music. So she sang absolutely gorgeous how she sang. So I had all this variety of sounds and styles of music. So maybe that is one of the reasons why when I started playing, being a musician, first of all, I said, okay, I'm going to be a classical guitar player like my brothers. But in the middle of it, I said, no, this is their journey, not mine. So I started shifting and adding the voice, the vocals, and wow, I went through many different phases with music in my life because of my own search for what can I do with the guitar. I can do more than just play guitar. I can use the guitar as a percussion. So I did the percussion lessons and I was tapping the guitar and I was in the percussion lessons. I discovered that I could think as a drummer, not as a guitar player. So I started to really create arrangements while one hand was doing one rhythm, the other was doing another, and I was singing on top of that, and I was doing mouth percussion. I went nuts, just having fun, me and four walls. And I took that to the world with my first album, released in New York in 1995, an album called Solo.
And let's listen to a little bit of you doing that right here. Letras de macarrão, letras de macarrão. Baji Asaj here on the checkout. So this is a Edu Lobo tune, right?
Yes.
A very famous Brazilian composer.
Edu Lobo and Chico Buarque. So I was doing this percussion lessons with shakers. So one hand doing shaker, one rhythm, another hand doing another rhythm, and I was very good doing that. Say, okay, I can play one shake with one hand and the guitar with the other. So it's when I started to, but in the beginning, it wasn't that easy to coordinate the stuff. So I was writing on top of a score. This note, I'll hit the shaker with the sound, the deep sound of the shaker. This note, I'm hitting with the other sound of the shaker to start it organizing inside of my mind. And when I did this, oh, magic. Let me free. So I kind of come from a school where I studied a lot, technique, and freedom came after that, you know.
Your brothers, who have played Carnegie Hall here in New York and mm-hmm. are pretty famous around the world, mm-hmm. are certifiable monsters on their instruments.
Yes.
And is it true that your father, who is also a musician, you come from this royal musical family, did he project the musicianship first on your brothers and you sort of came sideways? They didn't see you coming.
No, not at all. Because when I was born, my brothers were 8 and 12. And right there, they were already playing the guitar and my father stopped his life to devote to these two kids, and my mother going along with me in the luggage. Let's go. So we moved from the countryside of São Paulo to Rio de Janeiro so they could study guitar. So his mind, my father's mind, was totally focused on my brothers. So he never thought about it. But when I was 14, we moved back to the countryside. Because then my brothers were already started to travel a lot. There was no sense by the time for my parents to stay in Rio if they were not around. My brothers were not there anymore. So all is traveling. So we came back to the small town, and my father didn't have a person to play with. So he looked at his little girl, "Would you like to play with me?" And that was a question that changed my entire life as a teenager, because I was jealous of the love my father put in my brothers. Not the jealous like I hate you, but I wanted that love for me too. So when he asked me to play with him, I said yes, with shining eyes, you know. And I started to perform with him, and there was it. In 2-3 months, I was playing all the repertoire from, I repeated the same as he did with my brothers. I had the same DNA. So it was a very surprise moment for everybody.
Baji Asaj here on the checkout. I'm Simon Rettner. Play another song for us. Thank you. Wow, that was much more vocal improvisation than I anticipated. So your brothers, who are very much steeped in this classical thing, they look at you doing this much more creative music. How?
Yeah, they love it. One thing that I think is cute, what they say is like, they are two that sound like one, and I am one that sound like two.
That's fantastic.
So they love it. It's Sergio, especially more than Odaí, because Sergio writes and arranges. He exercises his world music side through me, because he does a lot of the arrangements in my CDs the entire life. And he has a lot of fun doing this. He's a very good jazz player, by the way. So we complete each other, you know. Actually, we have a family concert. The three of us, plus their two daughters, Clarice and Carolina. Oh, two God. Great musicians, too. So we don't stop. We invade the world.
You're becoming a brand of some kind.
Yes. But that's a lot of... the Seu Jorge and Dona Ica, our parents, very strong DNA for music. Unbelievable.
Wow. Well, let's go out with...
Quarto da Rainha.
Yeah, let's go out with this.
The Queen's Room.
Pra chegar no quarto da rainha, tem que atravessar o castelo. Talvez não leve muito tempo se você ignorar os critérios. Para entrar no quarto da rainha, tem que percorrer o palácio. E mesmo se estiver cansado, vai ter que dar conta do recado. Pra evitar convivências, a saída de emergência está sempre à direita e funciona mesmo na inocência. E pra evitar consequências, a saída de emergência está sempre à direita e funciona mesmo na evidência. Pra chegar no quarto da rainha, tem que atravessar o castelo. Talvez não leve tempo algum se você ignorar os mistérios. Para entrar no quarto da rainha, tem que percorrer o palácio. E dependendo do cansaço, vai fazer papel de palhaço. E pra evitar convivências, a saída de emergência está sempre à direita e funciona mesmo na inocência. E pra evitar consequências, a saída de emergência está sempre à direita e funciona mesmo na evidência. Para chegar no quarto da rainha, tem que atravessar o castelo. Talvez um leve tempo algum se você ignorar os mistérios. Para entrar no quarto da rainha, tem que percorrer o palácio. E dependendo do cansaço, vai fazer papel de palhaço.
Discover Bhaji Asaj music on her website. That's Bhaji, B-A-D-I, Asaj, A-S-S-A-D.com. Thank you. Spread the word about The Checkout. It's a podcast. Download the show, give us a review in iTunes. Stream all of our programs online at checkoutjazz.org. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Checkout Jazz. The producer is Simon Rettner, at Simon Rettner. Special thanks to our intern, Joyce Kwan. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Josh Jackson. Thanks for listening.